Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
I wonder this morning, as we draw to kind of our time of meditation, as we draw into a time of encountering the Word, how has today for you been shaped by the events of this week? Are we sitting here today, trying to put those horrific events out of our mind so that we can enjoy our Advent celebration? And yet somehow those events come knocking on our minds and our hearts, going, you can't deny the reality of what has happened. And you can't deny what is going on in those families' lives. When it first happened, and we were getting word that these littlest ones, these death of the innocents, had happened. And it happened when I kind of got word of it. I was kind of at home, okay? And so I was watching the news, and obviously it was all over the news. But I was thinking really about what would it have been like? What is it like to, as you know, I think Carrie kind of said, because she's in that boat, to send your little ones and to have them never return. We instinctively know that there's just something wrong about having to bury your children. And I think about today, as we gather in our time of worship, We decorate the sanctuary, and it is beautifully adorned, right? I mean, the trees, there's more light. But let me ask you a question. On a day like today, if we lived in Newtown, Connecticut, would we want to put out the lights? Could we, in good conscience, gather and say, let's sing Joy to the World? How do you do that? What do you say? Would you, if I could give you the power to be the mayor of Newtown and make some kind of decree, would you want to say, let's do away with Christmas this year? Nobody feels like shopping or decorating. And I imagine if in our congregation, if we were in that community, many of you would have lost a child. Some of you would have lost it. Or you would have known a neighbor kid that went trick-or-treating at your door that will never come home. Or you will know parents that maybe on a day like today, after the busyness, they may have to go to the mortuary or to the funeral home. What do we do? What do we say? What meaning does Christmas have? Does Christmas say anything to that? Does it have anything to offer? What is it that we as Christians have to say about what has unfolded? Should we put Christmas on the back burner? What do we do? I don't know about you, but do you ever talk to your television set? Do you ever watch football games? And in a moment of tension, do you ever find yourself speaking tongues in a foreign language that perhaps you ought not utter to the television? I don't normally do that, but I actually did it a little bit this week. There was a time when people were, and I understand, people were trying to wrap their heads around horrific evil. And part of the struggle that we have as Christians is, how does evil so horribly exist. How does that happen? Because we can't wrap our heads around it. And yet, if you have not gotten slapped upside of the head with it, then you've just kind of closed your eyes. It reared its head and said, don't deny that I'm here. But there was a time when they were talking to people in the city, some city workers or something like that. And literally, I've been learning that they're talking about removing from Newtown all of the Christmas, you know, the city stuff that they put out, you know. They're thinking about removing it in order to be more somber and more respectful. But anyway, this lady gets on the television and she starts talking about the tragedy, right? And trying to make sense of it. And in the process, she says something that just went through me like a knife. She said, why, oh, why did God take our children? And I thought, oh, good Lord, what has she done? She has cut herself off from the only life raft available to her. She has denied the only hope that the world has. So the question that we have to ask ourselves is, on the third Sunday of Advent, we kind of go through this every year, and sometimes we get numb to it, we just kind of go through the motions, but what is it all about? What is it that Christmas, now more than anything, with the tragedy that happened in Connecticut clearly in your mind, what does Christmas, why is Christmas now what we need to proclaim more than at any other time? Because Christmas at any other time says Emmanuel, God with us. It isn't that God doesn't care. As a matter of fact, God saw the darkness of our lives. To people that were living in darkness and in the shadow of death, a light has dawned. God came among us. Now, we can argue and wrestle, why does evil exist? And why is it that God doesn't just with a mighty sweep of his hand do away with all of evil? Because, dear friends, it may very well be that in the course of events, many of us would get swept away too. God is giving us a chance, an opportunity. Some people, for great good, to do good things, to provide mittens, to provide food, to provide clothes, to reach out, to do all the good that we can. But you have to recognize that there are people who will do all the evil that they can, because fundamentally, we live in a broken world. So what is our solution? What is it that we can say? There was a light that dawned in the midst of the darkness. In a dark and weary world, a light has come. Advent has happened for us to take time to pause and to ponder and to prepare our hearts. For in the midst of darkness, light has come to show us that darkness will not win, that there is a better way of living. We gather here this morning to remind ourselves constantly that we will not be dominated by the darkness, but that by our actions, people will know that there is a better way. We will provide comfort to those that are grieving. We will provide hope for those that are lost, and we will provide help and nurturing for those that need a hand up. We will fight against the darkness, and if we're not willing to do that, then we become part of the darkness. And so Advent is an opportunity for us to enter into the light. And in that light, we find a better way. And that better way is an opportunity of finding hope, a hope that gives us strength, that in the face of that kind of evil, we know that God stepped into our world in order that he would have the final say. That darkness may come, but the dawn will always have the final say. And in the midst of all of that, Christmas tells us there is unending joy. God brings us joy. That hope that in the midst of darkness, light comes. There is a story that is told by a great author. If you've never picked up his books, his name is Timothy Keller, wonderful writer. And he tells a story about the time that he had a nightmare. He said it was one of those nightmares where you wake up almost in the middle of the night, almost screaming out of terror. And he said his nightmare was that in the midst of the darkness, all of his family had died. He dreamed that he had come home and found his wife and his four children murdered, their bodies strewn around. And in the terror, he ran from room to room. And if you've ever had those nightmares, do you ever notice how you can't quite move? You're just kind of like running in molasses. He said, I wanted to find a way out, and I couldn't. And he said he woke up kind of screaming. He said, but a strange thing happened. He said, when I woke up, I realized it was only a dream. And all of my family was there. They were safe and they were protected. And he said, I learned about a profound sense of joy. They were okay. It had only been a dream. When we come to this time of Advent, we're seeking joy that will sustain us through all of these kind of tragedies. But the problem is sometimes we get it confused. We get it confused with happiness. We think that joy and happiness are the same thing, and they're not. And I want you to remember this little phrase, and hopefully it will help guide you in the days ahead. I know it sounds cliche, but happiness happens. Joy is genuine. You see, a lot of times when we focus on Christmas, especially if you're a child, what do you focus on? Everything that's under the tree, right? What am I going to get? And maybe on Christmas morning they wake up and they got more than they anticipated and they are happy. Or maybe they didn't. But it's circumstantial. Maybe you got up today and you woke up and maybe it was blue skies and that made you happy. Or the car started, or you got everything done that you wanted to without a huge amount of arguing with your family. Circumstances made it happy. Joy tells you that there's a bigger purpose to what's happening, so that even in the midst of things that don't make you happy, there is a purpose to what life is all about. Christmas offers you that opportunity. It offers you an opportunity that in the midst of that horrific event, you say, but God still has a purpose and a plan. This morning we're going to look at a passage that may seem out of place with the story of Christmas. Christmas, we often think about tinsel and joy to the world and hark the herald and all that kind of stuff. This is a different story, but Jesus clearly tells us what joy is all about, and it's an opportunity for us to learn what that story is. Would you join with me as we center our lives on God's Word? This is God's Word for my life in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I believe He has a purpose for my life. I'm reading from John's Gospel, the 16th chapter. Jesus is approaching Jerusalem for the very last time. His disciples feel the tension. There's anxiety in the air. And Jesus is trying to give them perspective, beginning with the 17th verse. Now, some of his disciples said to one another, "What does he mean by saying, 'In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a while you will see me'? And 'because I am going to the Father'?" They kept asking, "What does he mean by 'in a little while'? We don't understand what he is saying." Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this, and so he said to them, "Are you asking one another what I meant when I said, 'In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me'? I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child has been born into the world. And so it is with you. Now is your time of grief. But I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything, and I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but I will tell you plainly about my Father. In that day, you will ask in my name. I'm not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father. Then Jesus' disciples said, Now you are speaking clearly and without figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all things and that you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father God, bring to us the joy of your presence, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus is talking to his disciples about the meaning of real, lasting joy. He does it in a way of explaining it through his own death and resurrection. He is revealing to them, for perhaps the very first time, what is about to transpire, that there is more to the story than that they are able to see. That in a little while, Jesus will be handed over to the chief priests. He will be scourged and he will be crucified. And if the story ended right there, if that was the end of the story, it would hands down be a tragic event. It would be a tragedy for all humanity. But Jesus gives us a little bit of an insight. He said, but there will come a time when you will see me again. And when that happens, no one will take away your joy. The power of joy to bring us serenity and bring us peace and, importantly, bring us perspective of what is happening in our world is so necessary, especially in this day and time. The problem is that for most of us, we would prefer to settle for happiness. That momentary contentment, the convenience, the easy way of saying, but I want what I want, and I want it easier. But life isn't like that, and especially if you have observed the events that have transpired this week, the tragedies that unfolded in Connecticut, and more importantly, the tragedies that unfold around the world on a daily basis. This is a broken world. But God's solution to our brokenness is not to give us more rules or more condemnations. God's solution to the tragedy in Connecticut is to come and mourn with us and promise us a day when the nightmare will be over. Jesus uses an interesting metaphor here, okay? And ladies, you have unique insight that none of the other, your male counterparts, none of us have. And to be quite honest, I'm okay with that one, all right? And that is the gift of giving birth. Jesus uses the analogy. He said, when a woman's time comes, there is pain and there is great agony, but that pain and that agony fades quickly when the child has been born. Because of the miracle that is about to unfold, we can endure the momentary discomfort, pain, and grief and anguish because of what is being born into the world. The first thing we want to learn from Jesus' imagery of what is true joy is Jesus tells us that joy's the root or the core of joy comes from tension, a sense of expectancy that something is going to happen, that we're moving forward, that the momentary discomfort is propelling us into something even more grand. In verse 21, it says that her child is being born into the world. We can endure the difficulties of our time if there is a time of awakening from this nightmare. And so the celebration of Christmas is the recognition that joy has come into the world in order that we might have eternal hope. That you will embrace that message and that you will share it with the world. It has a sense of tension, a sense of expectancy. The arrival of God into our own lives brings that sense of eternal joy. But the heartfelt reality is the depth and the richness of joy comes through sorrow. It is understanding how dark the world can be, how hurtful people can be, to understand the power of Jesus' message of sharing grace and light. I've often shared this to people that I know, that to say, you can't know how good the good news is until you know how bad the bad news is. Imagine in this moment if you're in that little town in Connecticut and there are so many parents that are reeling because their little ones are no longer coming home. What hope do you offer to them? Do you have any separate from the message of the church, separate from the message of Christmas? Is there any cliche that you could offer other than the presence of God in their own life? That God is bigger than this? There's a depth of sorrow. I think the fundamental thing that we have to recognize about Christmas, and the reason that we go to these extraordinary lengths, is because we want people to know that in the nightmare of our own lives, God came into that nightmare in order to help us awaken to the realities that there is more going on in life than what you see on CNN. God is beginning a movement to restore us to hope. In verse 22, Jesus says, "Now is your time of grief." But I love the way this passage ends. He said, "But I will see you again, and you will rejoice." And I love this part. "And no one will take away your joy." There will come a time when you will awaken, and all of your family will be there, and they will be forever alive. And no one will take that away from you, ever. That is the message of Christmas. We can't get to that place until we go through Bethlehem. Until we go through the struggles of an isolated life. And the tragedy of our time is we take Christmas so much for granted. We just go to the stores and we buy our gifts and we hope that everything is perfect. And we forget the message that it is for the grieving and for the broken and for the parents of little ones, for the death of the innocents, that Jesus came into the life. And yet, how many will just take it for granted and on a day of tragedy will have better things to do? And finally, the purpose of God's joy is always to bring you more life, more joy, to offer you even more and full and abundant joy that cascades into the rest of your life, that awakens you to the possibilities. In Luke chapter 1, the angel is talking to Mary, and he says, "He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth." Jesus will bring your life meaning and significance so that even the difficulties in life will have meaning and depth to them. We don't want anyone to grieve, but we want them to have hope in the midst of it. And what we do as a church is we gather together on a Sunday morning in order to be filled up with that message so that we can go back out to the world that is still grieving and lost and say, we have found a better way. And so I began thinking about everything that is happening in Connecticut and about their desire to do away with Christmas. And I thought, you're cutting yourself off from the very help and nurturing that you need right now. Where else are you going to turn for redemption and hope? Where else can you find it if not in the manger? In the messiness of our lives, Jesus was born to the poorest of the poor, in a manger, surrounded by animals and manure and poverty, he came so that we know that he knows what we've gone through. And he said, let me show you a better way. Now the challenge is, on a Sunday like this, is how will it affect your life? Is it just another good message and maybe we say we got out of church on time? I think. Or will it fundamentally change your perspective about your calling and about what Christmas means to you? It's not about the gifts. It's about joy. Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks for your Spirit is among us. We pray, O God, that your Christmas spirit will find its way to Connecticut, to the homes of the broken, the grieving parents, the parents and the grandparents, and a community that is lost. Touch them and comfort them and bind their wounds and bring them hope in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.